The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that others might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked them, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give answers to those who sent us? And what do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some of the Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Then why do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
I guess this is better. There's a book called The Way of the Pilgrim. It was written centuries ago, and it was the early fathers, mothers of the church wondering how to live out the second reading. How do we live out to pray unceasingly? How many people here have a cell phone? Anyone have a cell phone? You mind taking it out? I'm not going to collect them. I invite you to take out your cell phone. How often during the day do you reach for your cell phone? More than 10 times? 20 times? 50 times? 100 times? We'll leave it at that, but sometimes we almost feel attached to it. Well, one of the things that I would invite you to do during this last week or so of Advent is to think that every time you take out your cell phone, to think of the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," which would mean that at least 100 times a day you would be saying this little prayer. Now, the theory behind the Way of the Pilgrim was this person wandered far and wide in Russia and the Middle East, and they kept asking the wise people, how do we live this reading out, to pray unceasingly? And in the midst of all this journey, he began to realize that because different people in the world are praying at different time, that if I'm praying when I'm awake, if I'm attentive to God while I'm awake, then when I'm sleeping, someone else is continuing this prayer. And that even in my sleep, I am praying unceasingly to God. That reading invites us to an attitude that says that God is with us all the time, not just at church on Sunday, not even when we say our prayers at home, but all the time, God is with us. And so Advent invites us to say, how can we practice in a simple way this attitude of praying unceasingly? One of the most challenging things I give to young couples who are preparing for marriage is I ask them, and I think I've said this before, I ask them, can you pray together once a day? It's as if I ask them to, I don't know, I could have asked for $100 and I would have gotten a better answer. They just look at each other and look at me like, pray? But when we pray our heart. We pray our honest self. And that's the attitude that the second reading is inviting us to. To pray not words, which can be holy and sacred, like the Our Father and other prayers, but they should lead us to our attitude of union, of connection, of surrendering, of being one with God. And so this person that wandered all around the world and kept asking questions began to realize to keep it simple and focused. So from that book, The Way of the Pilgrim, and many other books of that period of time, came this simple prayer, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. And when things got too complicated, you would shorten it to say, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God. And when things got too tight, you would just say, Lord Jesus. And so for Advent, I invite us to use that simple Advent antiphon, Come, Lord Jesus. And you don't need to get another book out. You just need to take your cell phone out. And every time you look at it or open it up or text someone or message someone or receive a message, just say that simple prayer, Come, Lord Jesus. This Sunday is special in the liturgical year. The deacon and I are wearing this kind of classic pink because it's different than the other Sundays of Advent. It's as if, as in many countries around the world, you were given a little Christmas gift early, just to let you know that you have another week, but Christ is going to get born. And so the church gives us a little bright color, not the normal purple, but the brighter purple, the pinkish color, that reminds us that we're not anticipating something to go bad. We're reminded that something is going to go right, that Jesus is born among us. And so we're invited tonight to not only pray unceasingly, but to think about what brings us joy. Now, the difference between joy and happiness is at the heart of this issue. How many people are going to go out to dinner or make dinner after this Mass tonight? You're all going to eat something? And at a certain point, what kind of food brings you happiness? Shall I try to go forward again? I don't want to ring the church. Okay, we're good. Okay. So what kind of food would you choose to eat tonight?
Steak and potato.
Steak and potato. Okay. Okay. Not quite my vegetarian option, but okay. Steak and potato. What else would you pick for dinner tonight? Any choice for dinner tonight? What would you like to have for dinner? No choice. Soup and salad, okay. You're in the soup plantation or home or something, okay. What would you like to have for dinner?
Yams.
Yams, wow. I like yams too. Not everyone likes yam. That's pretty cool.
I would like soup.
Soup, what kind of soup? You have a favorite kind of soup?
Chicken.
Chicken noodle or just chicken?
My favorite soup is udon.
Okay. What would you like for dinner tonight?
Noodles.
And what do you want in the noodles? Noodles? Pork. Okay. Okay. Oh, there's another hand over here.
Pasta with Alfredo sauce.
You're very specific. Okay. So we have another hand here. One more. What do you want for dinner tonight?
Ribs.
Prime rib.
Prime rib. Wow. Okay. We're getting the better stuff back here. Okay. So the question I ask you is, what happens if you go to the place or you go home and you expect that you're going to get this kind of food that would bring you happiness, and it's not there. The pizza place is closed. The soup plantation is closed. You go to the kitchen, you open up the refrigerator, and oh yeah, we ate all the pork last night, so we're going to have chicken tonight, or we're going to have soup tonight when we really wanted to have salad. Happiness is something that comes rather quickly, but also passes quickly. So it's like, okay, I wanted salad, but I'm going to have pasta, or I wanted pasta, and I'm stuck with a salad, or whatever it might be. And the dressing is different than you wanted, or whatever else. Happiness comes and goes, and we are being asked to go to that deeper place during Advent, that place that invites us to what brings us joy. A person that's pregnant and doesn't know what kind of child they're going to have, I'm assuming would be happy because they want to have a boy. And when the girl comes out, they're overjoyed that this child is healthy and smiles and looks exactly like the spouse, whatever. You and I might not get exactly what we expect on a test, and so we're either happy or sad. But I might find joy in the professor who says, "You have really been trying this semester. You have really studied hard." They take it to a moment that goes deeper, that says, "You are wonderful. You're an amazing student. You wanted an A, you got an A-, but that doesn't matter. You've been working at it. You've been trying to grasp the concepts." And that teacher says, "That's an amazing. You have been practicing for this Christmas concert. You're a violinist, and you do it wonderfully, except there's a moment that you get a little off." And your family just greet you with joy and say, "You were amazing," because they take it from happiness to joy. So I invite you this week, as we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," what would bring you joy? In this time of the year, with struggles in our nation and our world, and maybe in your families, what would bring you joy in the midst of those struggles? What would bring you that deeper sense that all is well? I went to a friend of mine's funeral the other day. She was a wonderful nun for about 56 years or so, and her death came rather quickly in the context of her illness. But the celebration was completely about joy, because she had touched so many people's lives. It wasn't just the fact of joy or happiness because of her life and death, but it was joy because she had brought people to a sense of peace and a sense of knowledge of themselves and the sense of God in their lives. So we have a kind of strange week coming ahead. Next weekend, you're going to have a moral dilemma at the deanery meeting of the priests. It was a big issue, because next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, but Sunday night at this time, it'll be the vigil for Christmas Day. Somehow or another, some people will lose sleep over this and wonder, can I morally come to Sunday night's Mass and catch Sunday and Christmas at the same time? Somehow or another, I have a sense that God is not going to worry too much about this. You will need to worry about it as a family and as a person and figure this out. But every, I guess, 7 years ago, this all happens. But the question at the essence of this week is, what will bring you joy? What will bring God joy? How can you bring joy to your family gatherings? Not just happiness, there's lots of gifts and lots of food, and those are all wonderful things. But what will bring you and your family, your relationships, your friendships, to a place of joy? What kind of gathering at work will bring you joy? In the midst of this reality of the sexual assaults and all those things that are happening, so often some of those experiences happened in the context of work-related gatherings that some people didn't know the difference between friendship and crossing a line. They don't know the difference between happiness and abuse in a negative way. We're asking that happiness go in a different way to joy. What? How can I bring joy to my workplace, to my classmates at school, to my people and my family? It could be joy that says that I'm so busy, I'm gonna take my cell phone out and call someone that I haven't called for a long time. And I'm not just going to do a 12-second phone call, hello, Merry Christmas, hope you do well, but I'm going to give that person a chance to tell me of what's going on in their life. And they will be given the gift of joy. Come, Lord Jesus, every time we pull out the cell phone, and what can I look for? How can I bring about joy in my world, in your world, as we prepare for the birth of Christ Jesus, who is joy itself? We know that as Mary and Joseph prepared for this birth, they had no idea what was happening. They did not know what we know, that this person was going to go on American Got Talent and Jesus was going to sing his heart out and people were going to say he's number one. They had no idea. They just thought this little Jesus was, there's something going on here. We have some sense of the angels saying there's something special going on. They didn't know that, but we know that he would bring us joy. We know that he will bring Mary pain, as the Bible says. We know that he will say things that will make lots of people uncomfortable. And we know that he will be crucified and die. But we also know that even death will not conquer Jesus Christ. He will rise. So for us as Christians, as we walk into these sacred days, I invite you to do it prayerfully. Come, Lord Jesus. And to do it with that question, what will bring me joy? How can I bring joy into this world? It is inevitable that next Sunday night and Monday, we will be singing that song, Joy to the World. It is one of those powerful songs, but will we allow it to take it to us to a place of deep joy, of healing joy, of justice joy, of hopeful joy, of peaceful joy? Let us use this week to not only to finish our letter writing and package making and all those foods that we're going to make, but may it be a time to go deep into our spirit, to pray unceasingly with our cell phones, come Lord Jesus, where am I going to encounter joy and where will I bring joy to this world? Amen.